On November 2nd, Mexico celebrates Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead. While it is a common misconception that this is a Mexican version of Halloween, it is a completely different celebration. On Day of the Dead, deceased family and friends are celebrated, and it is believed that their souls come back for the holiday. Here, in New Orleans, the Stone Center for Latin American Studies, Latin American Resource Center at Tulane University, and the Cabildo at the Louisiana State Museum held a celebration at the Cabildo in Jackson Square on both Saturday, November 1st and Sunday the 2nd. As a note, Jackson Square was incredibly lively over the weekend, and you'll notice the music and the chatter from Jackson Square throughout the recording. The festivities started out when Cynthia Ramirez created an ofrenda, or altar, to celebrate the Day of the Dead. She is an associate professor at Southern University at New Orleans and has been creating public altars for many years. Here, Ms. Ramirez discusses celebrations of the holiday.
So they believe that on this day, just this one day, if they come back and they do exactly what they're going to be doing when they were alive. And so that's why you see all these skeletons and some of the things you're going to see here, they're dressed up doing whatever. I even have the calaveras, which are the skeletons that you see, going to a funeral. You know, or, you know, doing whatever they did. So that some of the ones I like are the ones that are so interesting. So that's what you're going to see. Things that they do, food is important. Things that you're going to see that are especially important to those people. Now, beginning in October, children and adults prepare to welcome the souls of their dead relatives, which return home each time this year, and to make sure that they have everything, and also to make sure that they're not forgotten. Okay? Now, the preparations include major preparations of foods like mole, tamales, pan de muertos, which is bread of the dead, empanadas, and drinks like atole, which is kind of like a warm drink made out of cornmeal and mint. It's really good. It's like farina. Has anybody had farina? Do y'all remember that? Maybe not. It's like a cream of wheat, right? It's so good, isn't it? But atole is really good with sugar and everything. Everybody's not drinking it, but it's just really good. And then they have, and this is a really good one, champura, which is the same thing, but it has Mexican chocolate in it. It's so good. It's really, really nice. I should have made somebody. So anyways, the days here, they call it the Day of the Dead, but it's actually the Days of the Dead. And that was, they began on the 31st, when they started really doing the serious preparations. So from the 31st through the 2nd, of course, I think the different souls. Today, of course, the children. Tomorrow, the adults. Now, there are parades associated with, usually you have a parade to bring everybody to the altar. Dances, festivals, or at this time, it is a grand event for the community, major preparations. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic, that you're going to be going out like this.
Next, she describes the altar she put together and explains the symbolism behind it.
This one is more of a, you know, public altar, but private altars are very important, home altars, because if you can't go to the cemetery and be with them, then they will bring altars into the homes, and then they'll bring they would take the petals of the marigolds and make trails from the cemetery through the streets to every altar that's there. Okay, so the people know, so that the souls know exactly where to go. Now, these altars can be contemporary, or they can be traditional. Mine are more traditional. Something about the contemporary, I just can't go on. Well, I mean, I can understand the concept of it. Mine are very traditional. Now, they celebrate the life of the deceased. There are certain components that go onto the Day of the Dead altar. The most important thing, of course, would be the photograph. And this year, I was like, who am I going to do it to? And so I decided this year, because I really haven't done a really Day of the Dead altar for my father. So this year, I'm doing it for my father. And this is my father. So you usually put the picture is the most important thing, who you're dedicating it to. And his name is Daniel Martinez Ramirez, as I say. And he was born in 1928, and he passed in, he was buried today, 8 years ago. Yes. And so I said, oh, how perfect. He died on the 27th, but he was buried on the 1st, on All Saints Day, my dad, on All Saints Day. So I decided I was going to dedicate it to him this year. Now, traditionally, it's a three-tiered altar, but sometimes I like a lot of tiers. But I usually focus in on the three tiers that you have here. Now, in the top tier, you always have your tree of life. Okay. Now, this tree of life was important to the Aztecs. Okay. Now, the tree of life for the Aztecs was grew in the north, and for the Aztecs, the north is associated with death. Okay. And so that's why they use the tree of life on that top tier. These altars, these terracotta tree altars, are covered with images of nature and of human. So you have, of course, Adam and Eve on the bottom. And then you have, you know, the angels and the flora and fauna and, of course, the snake. So this is usually, and I've seen them very elaborate. And it's just unbelievable with animals and flowers and here. So this would go directly on top of the altar. Now, also the tree of life, another symbol here, was also in the Mayan, too, because on the coffin lid of Pakal is the tree of life. You know, some people say it's a spaceship. He's in a spaceship, but it's the tree of life that he's actually intertwined with. Candles also are placed all over the altars. I don't have them out. Oh, we have nice and beautiful. Lovely. We can't put these in the sun. These are nice wax candles here. Now, the candles are placed all over the altar. Of course, once again, the purple candles will be used to signify pain. On the top of the top lever of the altar, you would put four candles. And these four candles are to be placed that signify the cardinal directions. So you have the north, of course, in the very top. Then you have east, west, south. So all of those four candles, even though you have the north, you're going to have them to address those four cardinal directions. The light, of course, of these candles will illuminate the way for the souls to come to the altar. Okay, that's another image here. Three sugar skulls. The three sugar skulls are placed on the second level. Now, these are supposed to represent the Holy Trinity. And on the center level, of course, is the large skull. And it is placed, and he is considered to be the giver of life. So that's why you have a larger one. And then, of course, your sugar skulls are going to be that. Now, all bad spirits are whisked away and leave a clear path for the dead soul, for the dead souls. That's why in some of these they have these parades, and you have these guys dressed up, like weaving through the crowd, because what they're doing is getting away from all those bad spirits that will actually find way, so the souls can find their way to the altar. Okay. Now, of course, my kopal, you burn kopal. That's, of course, the Catholic Church starts having this, that smell, that incense that you smell in the Catholic Church. That's kopal. And you will bring that, you will always burn that in front of your altar to also do the same thing, bring the souls to the, it cleanses the area, but it also brings the souls to the altar. Sometimes a small cross of ashes are sometimes drawn in front of the altar. I also have seen crosses of marigold petals in front of it too. These are modeled on the floor so that when the soul comes to the altar, they will step upon it, and this will expel all their guilt. So that's an interesting symbol on that. Now, the Day of the Dead bread, or Pan de Muerto, should be accompanied by fruit. Candy is placed on the altar. Pan de Muerto is a plain, round, sweet bread that is usually have, like, the crisscross bones on it. Sometimes I've seen them in the shape of skeletons themselves. They're really kind of, they're very good. Foods such as tamale, salt, fruits, like I said before. And also you include your favorite food of the individual. My father loved ice cream, and so I'm going to put a little thing of ice cream on it. Now, a towel, soap, a small bowl are put on the altar so that the returning souls can actually wash their hands before they eat. Also, a pitcher of water because, you know, they have to drink. And, you know, if they want a little harder stuff, which is always associated, you're going to put some, if they drank liquor, you put liquor on it, okay? So that's an important part of that. You also put it on there for, to show that the good times in their life, you know, the good things that, that happened in their, you know, the partying that they did or whatever. To decorate and leave the fragrance on the altar, of course, you'd use the marigold petals. A flower of 400 lives is the name, is the Aztec name. I won't attempt it, but it actually means the flower of 400 lives. That's what the marigold's name means. Now, sometimes for me, I like the altars to smell. So I sometimes do coffee, especially that person with the coffee is very sick. So I'll put open it up, the ground coffee, so you can have that nice smell. And I think my favorite too is to put chocolate, you know, the Mexican chocolate and granite, because Mexican chocolate also has cinnamon in it. And so it brings a very nice smell to the altar. Personal objects of the deceased and objects that symbolize their work, hobbies, or interests are put on the altar to remember the life of the individual, and it is always to be enjoyed by the soul. So anything that would, their, whatever they did in life, my father was a musician, so I'm going to bring in his, he was a musician, but he was also a conductor. And so I actually have his conducting baton. So the elements here are represented earth, wind, fire, and water. The earth, of course, is represented by the flowers, and also the you usually put a clay pot for the incense. So that clay is talking about the earth. Wind and air are represented by, of course, the papel picado and the butterflies, okay, because they come in on the air. Now fire, of course, is a candle, and of course the burning of the copal. Now water is also the glass of water that is there for the souls to drink. Calaveras, you see them everywhere. You got a bunch of them downstairs. Now, calaveras represent the souls that are coming back. That's what they do. You see them all dressed up, and I love the little ladies down there because she's my favorite. She's all decked out, and she's, you know, has her thing. And the man, you know, they're always dressed out, you know, what they would be in life. And they are representing, if you can imagine, if you will, tomorrow, if you are doing anything, they're standing right by you and dressed up, you know, and they don't want to stand out or anything. They're just there with you. So if you could see them, that's what they would be doing. They would be having whatever they would dress up in life. They will be, you know, doing routine that. I think some of my favorite are when they're shooting pool, going to the doctor, cooking in the kitchen. I have some that are doing bad things, but, you know, but I like the humor that goes along with these calaveras. The little scenes, I haven't opened them yet. Do I have any of the wooden scenes? Any of those yet? These are called calacas. The little wooden, you know, scenes of these skeletons doing various things. And once again, you know, I have a lot of little Mexican wrestlers, you know, they're playing with each other. I have a lot of mariachis. I have a lot of doctor scenes, you know, the doctors, you know, shooting the person, you know, in an area that's not normally, well, anyways. But anyways, they're funny little scenes that I really, really, really enjoy because they got such a sense of humor about this. And especially in those scenes, and those, it's just a wonderful idea of the way they handle death and the way they perceive death. Let's see. Okay, sugar skulls, of course, appear to be a survival of the pre-Hispanic times. The Aztecs actually would keep skulls as trophies because those skulls were the warriors, right? And so those warriors, remember, are very, very powerful. So if you have that warrior skull, you've got that power. Okay, so that was very significant in the Aztec times. These were traditionally given to children, and their names, all over Mexico, you can see the windows just filled with the sugar skulls. And this area right here, the little guy, like we do cakes and stuff, they would actually put, you know, in frosting, the kid's name, okay? And the kids will crack them and eat them. And we might say, well, why are these kids, you know, why are they eating this? It's kind of weird. But it's very symbolic in that you are consuming death, mocking it, and you're conquering that death for that year, and you're ready for the next year. So it's kind of like whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So it's kind of that same tradition of that. So it's a great tradition. My kids are always, especially this time of year, eating little monsters and stuff like that. Papier-mâché skeletons, you see them all down the street. I get so excited when I see the papier-mâché skeletons. They can be small, as you see, but very large, as you have some down there. They also can decorate the altar, rooms, and even be put outside, welcoming the soul. So that's just beautiful. They have them outside there. There are... I hope you understand a little bit about the components so you can go out and tell people about things. Kids really, really enjoy this because they like tradition. They like certain, you know, aspects of the tradition.
After Ms. Ramirez spoke, there was another speech by Christopher Jones called Dancing with the Dead, El Día de los Muertos in a Cross-Cultural Perspective. Then Denise Waltering provided some information about the Latin American Resource Center, and a member of the Mexican consulate spoke, in Spanish, on the celebration. On Sunday, I chatted with a few of the attendees of the event. First, I sat down with Dr. Stephen Pierce.
I'm Dr. Stephen Pierce, and I'm the Latin teacher at Benjamin Franklin High School, and we're with the mariachi band, so you can hear them playing in the background. And I've come to celebrate the Day of the Dead with some people from Tulane University and Dr. Ramirez, who is going to give us a talk on the symbolism. And we've been doing a lot of discussing in my Latin class about ancestor worship, and this is a sort of ancestor worship that is often overlooked, but very, very vibrantly alive in Mexico. So we wanted to know as much about it as we could, and we found this very informative two-day venture of a workshop institute that's proved to be quite informative and appreciated very much. It's very, very difficult to be thinking music and thinking about the Day of the Dead at the same time, but it's a lovely afternoon. It's beautiful weather here in the French Quarter, isn't it? And we've got somebody walking around on stilts, handing out papers, and it's really quite lovely.
So what did you enjoy yesterday?
Intellectually, I enjoyed the anthropological lecture, the one that was given in the arsenal, I believe, the most, because it was most informative and most detailed part of the presentation. Also, it was done with quite a good visual that went with it that was prepared in the computer. And even the little cartoon animation at the end was a nice touch. So, yes, I enjoyed that the most, I think.
With your students, did you say you specifically talked to them about Day of the Dead, or this is an umbrella of...
Day of the Dead in Mexico. But what we are doing in our Latin class is talking about Roman religion. But Roman religion was, the native Roman religion was deeply steeped in ancestral worship. So consequently, it's very closely associated with what's going on here today and yesterday. And it's got that same sort of vibrance to it. It's not sad and awful, but very celebratory. So it's quite interesting, really.
And have you participated in any of these sorts of events before?
Well, I participated. Yes. Not really.
Okay.
Now, this is a kind of a first for me, so it's kind of instructive and fun. And I'm sitting coloring. I'm coloring a cat for the Day of the Dead, which I'm going to give to a musician friend of mine. She loves cats, and she's got one like this, so we're going to color it in.
There's a lot of crafts going on. Is this your first craft?
This is the first one that I've actually done completely myself. We did have other crafts yesterday. We got to help make one of the flowers. They're marigolds, the flowers are, that we were making. Huge marigolds, about a foot and a half across. We were making them out of paper for the altar. So, it's quite interesting, really. And Dr. Ramirez was very good with it. She's making the altar in honor of her father, so that's real ancestor worship there.
Next, I sat down at the children's craft table and discussed what they were working on.
What are you coloring?
I'm coloring a skeleton dog, and this is very fun.
Thank you. Do you want to tell me about yours?
It's a skeleton playing music with a fruit hat.
Very nice.
Hi, I'm Krista Woltering. This is my first time coming to the Day of the Dead. I'm helping out with the arts and crafts section, which has a lot to do with a lot of coloring of the skeletons. And there's like dog skeletons that they're coloring. And there's a kitten one, too.
Have you had a big assortment of crafts?
Yeah. I mean, yesterday I did a lot of face painting. I'm trying to get more people to do face painting. Nobody else is doing face painting. And we have a lot of like the paper mache. A lot of the tissue paper stuff, like tissue flowers and wall hangings, stuff like that.
So this is your first Day of the Dead, and you've been learning. You've been learning a lot.
I've been learning a lot. Learning that it's a celebration of the dead, not a mourning or. A lot of people are, you know, scared of the dead, and it's trying to show people not to be scared of it. The altars are, you know, they like have a lot of food there and stuff to sell. You know, what was funny now that I'm thinking about it was that yesterday during the Day of the Dead, they had a funeral passing by, and it was it's funny because it wasn't like a normal funeral. I didn't know it was a funeral because they were like doing a second line, they're all clapping, and then these horses came by, and inside there was a coffin. So it was funny because now that I think about it, I didn't realize how ironic it was that it came through during it, because it was showing that it's a celebration of the dead.
Do you think there's a lot of misconceptions?
There is. There's a lot of misconceptions about how a lot of people think that, like, once you're dead, that it's, you know, that you're a bad person, or that it's, you know, ghosts are evil or skeletons are evil. And I don't really know why. I mean, once you're dead, that doesn't mean that your soul turns evil or anything. But it's a celebration of life, you know, like, about how much that person has accomplished, and not... People shouldn't be crying at funerals, but they should be happy about it. So there's a lot of misconceptions about, you know, how they see death.
Stepping out into Jackson Square, I talked with some people passing by who were enjoying the music.
My name is Brian Knighton.
And what are you doing out here today?
We came out to see the mariachis at the Cabildo.
Yes. And have you participated in Dia de los Muertos before?
I have before, but the mariachi component was something that is new, I think, to New Orleans. It's maybe a post-Katrina phenomenon. So it's nice to see some mariachi music in the French Quarter, in the Latin Quarter. It's good to be a part of it. It seems to be that not a lot of people know the distinction between Mexico and the rest of Latin America. So whenever someone sees... an individual who may look Latino, they think that they all celebrate Dia de los Muertos or are Mexican, and it's nice that we're differentiating between the two. And you can see by the audience members, people are doing all the Mexican calls, requesting the mariachi songs. So having some familiarity with it, it's good to see that you all are promoting the Mexican heritage, and this being a real, truly Mexican All Saints Day weekend.
Hi, my name's Chris Sadler. Myself and my girlfriend have come to visit my girlfriend's long-lost friend from 20 years ago. She hasn't seen for 20 years, so it's a bit of a reunion, and it's great to come to a new city, and well, a proper traditional American city like New Orleans.
And have you experienced Dia de los Muertos before?
No, not at all. It's a new experience for me. Something great, something a little bit different, yeah. Something to get involved in on a Sunday, yeah.
Have you had any prior knowledge about Dia de los Muertos at all?
No, nothing at all. This is a completely new experience. And again, a little bit of education, just something a little bit different to come to a city like New Orleans and just to have a little bit of culture and a little bit, rather than just one of the big cities, you know, and going to a typical theme park or something really touristy. So yeah, it's great, really good.
All right, you enjoy yourself.
Thank you very much.
Over the weekend, I got to celebrate a new holiday and learn about a great Mexican tradition right here in New Orleans. This report has been brought to you by me, Rachel Wenzel, the Stone Center for Latin American Studies, and WTUL New Orleans. Here's some more mariachi music from Jackson Square.